we must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
Hey there, travelers. My name's Kai, and welcome to a Saturday offline Proudly Radical. And even though the last few offline Proudly Radicals I've done, I've taken online after I did some headlines or talking or journaling, this one will not be. Voice is a little bit better from yesterday, actually, to be perfectly honest. It's just an off day. Anybody in my Discord knows I woke up like 3 hours after when I normally would have or should have. And of course I had a pounding, just throbbing fucking headache. And so I came into my computer room after drinking some water and taking some vitamins and just popping a fat ibuprofen. And just like sat down on the couch in here and just ended up falling back asleep. This day is completely just borked as far as schedules go. But, I don't know. I've got a little thing in the works behind the scenes. Nothing to do with, tangentially it relates to the podcast, but it doesn't provide content. It's not one of those things. It's moving along a little faster than I expected, so that's good. I'm happy about that. Sign into something here. I'll talk more about how that company has turned to a shit company. That used to be good. I don't know what happened there, but man, they used to be a good company. After all of this is said and done, I'll be able to talk more freely about that. Nothing too exciting, folks. Don't get too worked up over it if you're a regular listener, but I'm excited about what's going to come out of it. I don't have much to say. Spent yesterday binging all the way up into the night, by the way. I like the early AMs. I spent yesterday binging The Expanse. I forget what episode I'm on. Technically, I'm on, I don't know. I could look it up, actually, as I speak. I'm on season 3, episode, 3, 4, or 5, something like that. I'm partway into 4. Of episode 4 of season 3. it's been enjoyable. I've enjoyed it. Except for the one spoiler, Joe. I don't really know what happened to his consciousness, but talking about Miller merging with the protovirus and Julie and whatever the fuck, it's an okay show. I'm good enough to keep watching. That's about all I can ask. I'm probably going to start watching episodes again. You could hear it. It's one of those days. Like, I'm yawning on it. You know how it is when you oversleep. Jackie, Cinematic Adventures, she called it. She said, the oversleep hangover. Yeah. It just fucks everything. You still end up tired. You end up with a headache and shit. You're fucked from it. I don't know what the deal is. What that's about. Never looked into it. Kind of glancing over here on my left-hand monitor. See if there's any bullshit headlines that I need to concern myself with. There's a few, and there's the one that really pisses me off. We'll see. Always hold back, but given that until we have hard facts, but I give. Sorry. Given the track record that this country has and the people in it, I definitely give the benefit of the doubt to the gentleman here who is the one who's the victim. Let me just reply back to this text really quickly. Done. All right. So Jones, Darquan Jones, Iowa. Authorities are investigating the alleged beating of a black man who local civil rights activists are saying appears to be the victim of a hate crime. Now, the civil rights activists are saying he's the victim of a hate crime. It's NBC News covering their ass, saying that he appears to be. Keep in mind, they have a still shot of him in this article where he's just fucked up. Like, you know, beat. He was beat. Like, swollen eye, fucking contusions and scrapes. And, I mean, you know, yeah, he was beat. 22-year-old was left with serious injuries. Jesus Christ. It's one of those days, right? Serious injuries after he was attacked while walking to his to visit his girlfriend early Saturday morning. He says that he broke broken arm, broken nose, 5 broken bones in his face. He was assaulted by multiple white men who accused him of being a burglar. I think we've heard that one before, right? I hope that this isn't some bullshit. I forget the dude's name, Chicago, whatever the actor. I mean, this is pretty far to go for making some shit up, but this would set back so many people's causes and so many issues in this country. I don't think it is, but I mean, people are fucking crazy, right? I have to at least consider that possibility and hope it isn't. I truly don't believe it is. Basically, he got to his girlfriend's townhouse, central Des Moines, knocked on the door around 3 a.m. She didn't answer the door right away. 2 men approached Jones, accused him of burglary. That's when the assault started. They choked him. They punched him in the face while, of course, using racial epithets. I don't doubt that in the least. Mel Brooks said, oh yeah, that's Cameron Middlebrook. He's the president of the Des Moines chapter of the NAACP who spoke to NBC. Who spoke to NBC about the incident as well. He tried to defend himself, fled to a nearby field. The men caught up with Jones, dragging him to a creek and shoving his head underwater. When 2 women from the apartment complex heard the commotion and came outside, Jones was able to run through a shallow creek and call the police. Jones described the alleged assailants as white men who appeared to be in their 30s, possibly drunk or high, unable to confirm. If this is what the victim says it is, the witnesses are reporting it as, it should be investigated as nothing less than a hate crime, Middlebrook said. We want to respect the process, but they were using racial slurs throughout the altercation. The racist nature of at least one of the attackers is obvious. But the detectives are still gathering evidence to determine a motive. He was released from the hospital earlier this week. I wish him a speedy recovery, and I wish hellfire to rain down upon the heads of the pieces of shit that did that to him. That's how I feel about that. I don't have these divisionary tactics. I don't have room for this is okay. So the reason I'm against divisionary tactics is a very pragmatic one. It's preventing progress, right? It's holding us all back as a society. That's where I come at it from, because generally speaking, they don't apply to me. I get to sort of exempt out, right? But then there is the secondary version of that. There's the humanity that I contain that looks at something that goes, oh, for fuck's sake, what is wrong with you people? He's just a fellow human being. Even if he was a burglar, he didn't deserve any of that, which I guarantee he wasn't. his girlfriend is confirmed to have lived there. It'd be a very odd place to rob. But even if he was a burglar, none of that was warranted. Clearly, these just propagandized, miseducated, misled, poor upbringing people. These people, that's how else do you describe a racist? They were filled with hate and miseducation from day one, right? Their heads got filled with all of this bullshit. And due to a variety of reasons, some of which are their own fault, some of which are not their own fault, but by a certain age, it's all on you, right? By mid-30s, it's on you if you're a racist dickhead, right? Like, that's on you. Even if you're a racist dickhead, it doesn't mean you have to be a violent racist dickhead, right? Like, this is strike after strike after strike. This is not just an issue of, okay, you know, there's the fuckers that further the systemic racism, and they need dealt with, for sure. It all needs dealing with. Don't think I'm giving excuses or giving anyone a pass here. They're all fuckheads, right? That's the way it boils down. But there are sort of a triage, a prioritization list, and violent racist fuckheads need dealt with first. For sure, because they're a walking danger zone for people. You're an Asian dude or a black dude or just a fucking Hispanic woman or, you know, a transgendered person walking down the fucking street in the middle of the night. You're taking your life in your own goddamn hands. That's insane. I feel a little sketchy walking around in the middle of the night like I do, but I got to be honest, I have walked the tunnels of Las Vegas, all the undercity tunnels, in the middle of the night with nothing more than like a pocket knife on me. And it's not like I'm clutching at it, like shakingly, like scared. It's just in the back of my waistband, just in case, you know. But other than that, you know, a fucking flashlight. And I've encountered people and never really had an issue. It's the one point that, Perspectives made that one time that, you know, while I have been oppressed, trust me, as a gay man, I have experienced oppression. But generally speaking, my homosexuality doesn't, I'm not flaming. I'm not wearing rainbow t-shirts. It's not readily apparent to most people. Those listening now are like, yeah, of course. No, you know me. You've known about it. You've heard me speak. You're biased. Generally speaking, like a cashier, you know, even a gay dude I hung out with for a while, had no idea I was gay. We met through retail and that sort of thing, and we started hanging out. He's like, wait, hang on. Did you just say boyfriend? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I had no idea. I don't read as gay for most people, and that's because I hung out with straight dudes my whole life. So most of my mannerisms, most of my manner of daily speech is that of just a heterosexual bro, right? And so I don't read as gay, so I don't have to worry about as being picked out usually as a gay dude. And so I don't experience that form of like just point and click oppression that somebody else would, that, you know, woman, person of color, potentially transgender. There's a list of people that just point and click fucking xenophobia and racism and all of the phobias. Let's just list it as that, categorize it as that. And so I get away with that to a certain extent. I just have to be concerned about crazy fuckers the same way anybody else is crazy concerned about crazy fuckers. But there's just these groups of people that have to walk through life wondering, is it going to happen? Like, you know, it's insane. Couple of fucking drunk white dudes see this black guy knocking on a door in the middle of the night, assume he's a burglar because, of course, he's black. He's a criminal, right? and fucking drag him out into the fucking, like, chase him out into the field, beat him, and try and fucking drag him over to a creek and drown him. What the fuck is wrong with people? Don't get me wrong. I understand that these people are a minority, but I also understand the system itself has prejudices towards poor people. Look, I've had this out with a few people. I personally, and this is, you know, maybe I have a perspective bias. I think the issue, number one issue on, like, not really an ordo cognoscendi, but the number one issue is classism. I think it overlays heavily. There's a strong Venn diagram overlay with the racism. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying racism isn't a problem. I'm not saying we don't need to address it. I think just that the racism is an extension of the classism, and the classism needs addressing first, or at least the most, not first necessarily. We should all be concentrating on a variety of things and attacking them as a whole, and dealing with them. So I don't want to add, like, a prioritization list. It's just more of a, like, this is, I think the classism is technically more important, because the fuckers who are at the top, who are also racist usually, are perpetrating classism as well, and the classism affects more people. But again, I agree to disagree with anybody who will disagree with me on this topic, and don't get me wrong, in no way, shape, or form am I attempting to downplay or minimize the suffering of anybody, First Peoples, Black people, women, alternative sexualities or genders or immigrants or none of this. It's all bullshit that shouldn't be happening, right? None of that should be a thing. But for me, I see the classism as a big issue. And that's what I really focus on, is that classist struggle. And as an anarchist, I'm on the side of anybody who's oppressed. It's not like I won't be there for you. It's not like I won't speak out for you. It's not like I won't call bullshit when I see it. I for sure will be there, as historically a lot of anarchists are. No gods, no masters, right? And yeah, that's what a lot of fucking people claim, is that, well, whether it's the slave trade in the Americas, whether it was the slave trade that the Spaniards were taking, First Peoples and Hispanic, Central and South American, and definitely the Caribbean, they took whole hosts of the Taínos. As slaves, the Chinese have had slaves, the Greeks have had slaves, the Africans have had slaves, the Middle Easterners have slaves still to this day. I mean, folks, don't let yourself get pigeonholed. Have your own priorities, uplift your own community. I understand that, but don't put blinders on to the point where you can't see or empathize with the suffering of the larger populace. We're all getting shit on by the masters, right? The aristocracy, the owners, the capital elite, the political elite, these fuckers that make a claim to be superior and owners of the world and the system. We're all getting shit on them. Some of us, yeah, get a better ride in some ways, but get the same shit ride in other ways. I'm not rich. I don't get better healthcare. Like, I get the same shit healthcare everybody else gets. Yeah, I didn't get looked at by the police in the same way, but I still have a chance of getting beaten and drug out by the police if they find out I'm a leftist, if I try and photograph them, if I try and, posture in any way, I'm going to get fucking truncheoned in the kidneys just like anybody else. But that first glance, yeah, I get the benefit of the doubt because I'm just a white dude. So, there's the privilege. But again, the privilege melts away as soon as certain lines are crossed. And I assure you, come to an anarchist's rally or a true leftist rally where there's red and black flags being flown, and you've got members of the Black Bloc present, dressed all in black face coverings, head coverings, all black clothes. That's the Black Bloc. They generally handle direct action for leftist politics. come to a rally where that's employed, and you'll see that white kids from the suburbs get treated the exact same way that black people will get treated on a daily basis. They don't hesitate. They don't hesitate. They will throw us to the ground and beat us the same way. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Generally speaking, the court process then goes a little bit easier on us. Because, again, systemic racism, right? There's no getting around that. But we all take our lumps in different ways. And if we start dividing ourselves, if we allow those divisionary tactics to take root, then they win. And they've been winning. And we need to start changing that. We need to start realizing that, Malcolm, Brother Malcolm Shabazz, when he came back from Mecca, he lost a lot of that edge. He needed to lose it. I mean, up until that point, you would listen to him speak about how the white devil and that sort of thing. And he came back and he's like, we're all brothers and sisters. We're in this together. It's a specific group we need to fight against. And we need to do it together. And that's sort of, how I approach it all. Solidarity over everything, right? You're all my brothers and sisters. You're all human beings. And if you aren't, hey, if you're like some extraterrestrial motherfucker, get in here and talk to me. Monday through Fridays on Podbean. Hit me up. I want to talk to you. Or a super advanced AI. I call those both out on my website, on my contacts page, by the way. That if you are an alien or a super advanced AI, be sure to hit me up. We're all in this fucking together. I don't have 3, 5, 12 mega yachts. Do you? Chances are anybody listening to this is not fucking rocking a mega yacht. And if you are, motherfucker, give me some money. I can do a lot of good with it. One, I can take care of my health care. And two, I can fucking spread it around to people that need it better than you, apparently. Sell the mega yacht worth $200 million or whatever and kick down, bitch. But, I mean, most people, all listening to this, are going to be in the same position as I am for the most part. Just walked on and raw dogged by society at large for the majority of your life. And the only way we're going to deal with that is through solidarity. We got to start getting each other's backs. I mean, I forget what the story was. I put it into shared content, I think. Let me try and find it. I got to do a Discord search here. Ooh, it would help if I spell things correctly, wouldn't it? I can't find it. I put a story up about how there was a ship, a cargo ship, that wasn't able to dock anywhere in Europe because it was loaded by scab workers. If you're not familiar with the term scab, it's just a term for workers who crossed the picket line. The workers who were the cargo, cargo workers union or some sort of longshoremen's union. I don't know. It was in one country in Europe. No, the details are hazy, but it happened recently. We're striking, and a bunch of scab workers loaded this cargo ship, and it went to dock somewhere else in Europe, and they refused it port of entry. Like, they're not going to touch it. And them, nope. And so the ship had to go back out to sea, and it was struggling to find a port in which it could actually dock because no union workers will touch it. And the union solidarity in Europe is strong, much stronger than here, much, much stronger. Like, other unions won't touch your shit because you screwed over a different union. Here, you're lucky to even get the whole of a union to participate. Over there, they're like, yeah, no, the electrical union's out, the fucking construction workers union is out, the fucking, you know, all the unions come together in solidarity if you cross that line. And that's, dude, we need that so badly here. We need that so badly here. The rugged individualism of America is killing us all. We need to get past that and start realizing we are a community. We are a society that will live or die by each other's hand. It's that simple. Yeah. It's difficult to keep track of my cursor sometimes. I don't know. I wish I could say, you know, I don't know what happened to this country, but we all know what happened to this country. Neoliberal hypercapitalism with a touch of conservatism derived from Edmund Burke. I mean, this is straight almost mononarchical thinking, right? The praise of strongmen and leaders. And this is close to worshiping a king. It really is. And I mean, you look at the cult of fucking Trump. We're half a beat out, right? Like, we're half a beat out from monarchism. It's very monarchical. I don't get it. Is it, who was it? Washington Monthly had an article. What's today? It was today. About how we needed to speak about the GOP's evolution into a conspiracy cult. Yeah. They've turned into a lot of things, right? I don't know if it has to do with the Southern strategy and the takeover by evangelicals. I don't know if that's a contributing factor, but I would like to put forth as for potential conversation that I want that in the dialectic. I want that in the conversation that the merging with the religious conservative factions of the South, specifically the Southern Baptists through the Southern strategy, Reagan and Criswell, started that ball rolling. That when you have evangelicals and fundamentalists, what you have is a group who is prone to fantastical beliefs already. They take shit literally. They take that Bible literally. And there is in no realm that there's no way in no realm that you should be taking that book literally. I don't care if you can historically prove any point in that book. That book should not be taken literally, given what we know about how it was created. The fact that it is the product of committees and political movements and those that wish to maintain power over specific groups such as women and slaves. It's that book is a giant asterisk. Read it. Use it for some moral tales if you want, but you better be well-educated in theology to be able to separate the good from the bad in that one, because, man, some of those lessons in that book are truly insidious. But people believe that there was a talking snake and that Eve was crafted out of a rib from Adam, and that a dude like walked on water and came back from the dead after 3 days. This fantastical thinking lends itself. It's sort of it's a prerequisite installation. For other software to be installed, if you pre-install this software on the platform, then the other software can be installed as well. It's very difficult to get somebody who doesn't believe in that stuff to believe certain other stuff. And you do have to, and don't get me wrong, it's possible. It's entirely possible. I have known atheistic conspiracy theorists, but it's a shortcut. It's much easier. I don't know. I think there's a conversation to be had there. And I do think that the evangelical and the fundamentalist merging with or cutting a deal with the GOP opened the door to a whole host of thoughts and ways of living that lend themselves to thinking that QAnon is true, that Bill Gates is trying to microchip you because it's the mark of the beast, that, you know, that David Icke shit, reptilians run the world, and like the royal families are reptilians. It's problematic. Vaccines don't work and are a way for the government to turn your kids gay. All of this sort of stuff is holding us back. It is a massive contributing factor in American society and culture as to why we're not making any progress. It's because there's tens of millions of us who believe in sky cake, to quote Patton Oswalt. I mean, they truly believe that nothing, the only thing they do that matters is that they like follow a handful of guidelines from this stupid magic book, and that they do what the magic guy at behind the pulpit tells them to do. And then for eternity, they get to do whatever the fuck they want. They get to eat sky cake and all is cool. They're very, very often not concerned with what's going on in the here and now. Now, don't get me wrong. There are good Christians. There are lots of good Christians. But they're complicit. Unless they are literally, and there are radical leftist Christians. I've met them. I've studied some of them. St. Thomas of Aquinas was one of those. Very close to communism, folks. You can see what happened. The Franciscan monks afterward, you can see what happens when the Catholic Church gets their hands on your belief system. Immediately authoritarian, and it's ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing all people who ascribe, who call themselves Christians, but you have to be aware. If you are hearing my words and you call yourself a Christian, you claim to be a member of that group, you have to know how big of a problem that group is. You have to be aware, and you have to be willing to criticize it. You have to be willing to call them out and repudiate them and refute their nonsense. As soon as one of them starts screaming about queers or gays or faggots, you need to be the one to stand up and shout them down. It shouldn't have to be some purple-haired, like, stereotype of an SJW to deal with them. It needs to be someone in the crew. It needs to be a fellow Christian who stands up and says, hey, that is the last thing that God commands. None of that. No judgment from you, nothing but love. Sit down and shut up. That needs to be the first words out of their fellow Christians' mouths. Unfortunately, they're allowed to shout more often than not. They're allowed to, even more insidious, by the way, while we're on this topic, it's the things that happen behind closed doors. It's the things that happen when the non-Christians aren't in the room or aren't present. It's the things that happen in the church. It's the things that happen in the deacons' meeting. It's the things that happen at the barbecue, at the cookout. Those are the places that a lot of us don't have access to. And that's the place you need to be the most vocal. When you do hear your fellow churchgoer spouting off to his wife and his buddy over there by the grill, you need to walk over. You need to just walk over and handle it. Hey, Bill, what the fuck? What do you mean? Dude, you shouldn't be talking like that. This passage. Jesus, you're not allowed to judge. Jesus says, love thy neighbor. You know, just hammer him down in front of people, in front of your peer group, and handle that shit. The same way that, you know, there is a call amongst people of color for white people to handle our shit. Like, when you encounter that racism, like real racism, fucking handle it. It's on you. I've told people before the old Stanhope joke about how, excuse me, black guy told him that you'll never understand racism because you're white. And Stanhope's retort is that you'll never understand racism because you're black. They don't hold back because I'm in the room. There is truth to that. There is significant, uncomfortable truth to that statement. And it's on the white people in the room to say something. When your boss is going off on some bullshit racist tear, it's on you to say something. Well, I can't risk my job. Too fucking bad. There are things bigger in this world. There really are. And I'm tired of excuses. And that's, I guess that's what this whole rant is about, right? Like this whole rant has been about how we have these problems, we refuse to confront them, and then we make excuses for why we refuse to confront them. Be it racism, be it sexism, be it homophobia, be it xenophobia, it doesn't fucking matter. When you encounter these things, it's on you to deal with it. And if you don't, you're guilty. Sure, you're not as guilty, blah, 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 blah. I'm tired of splitting hairs for this shit. It's time for people to just start owning these problems and saying, look, there is no one point that we can point to and say, source of all problems, right? We're all in this together. That means we're all equally sharing guilt. If you're listening to this on, anything with a microprocessor in it, congratulations. You contributed to capitalism. You contributed to Western neoliberal hypercapitalism, which exploits labor in the developing world. And chances are there's blood on your device. Very real suffering and blood. Okay? So own that. Realize that. Make the most of the device. Speak honestly about those sorts of things. The same way that anybody who encounters any form of systemic racism or isolated racism or, you know, religious intolerance or whatever it is, when you encounter it in your day-to-day life, it's on you to say something. You don't have to do anything beyond that. We just need a chorus of voices to yell out at once, finally. It's enough. That's enough. Knock it the fuck off. That's step one. Where we go from there, we decide together. But first, we have to realize we're in it together. So there's an old school offline rant for you. It's been a while since I've done one of these. Kind of feels good. So it's a different rhythm and flow to an online episode. Huh. Yeah. I think I'm going to try and finish the three tent poles episode tonight. I think I'm going to write it. And I finished writing it. Hopefully I'll get it tightened up, and then tomorrow afternoon or something, I'll get it. Maybe later tonight I'll get it recorded. We'll see how I feel. And then, I'll get it published, and then Sunday's episode can be a pre-recorded script episode. I'll look for a new article to go up on the website soon as well. Probably going to be the telling of Jesus and the money changers in the temple. I'm going to rework that script into a bit of an article, and we'll go from there. But yeah, hope you enjoyed this, folks. As always, you can find all of my stuff at kaisthings.com, K-A-I-S things.com, and I hope you're as well as you can be. Till next time, folks.